Okay, let's go ahead and get started. My name is Quentin. I'm a program manager on the information protection team. Been working in the e-discovery space for about 5 years now, and have been involved with both SharePoint and Exchange, so I've got split personalities. One side of me is extremely serious, and one side has a sense of humor. I won't tell which one of those is Exchange or SharePoint, but so thank you all for coming. Today I'll be going through and showing the capabilities we have for eDiscovery in Exchange, as well as what we've done in SharePoint, as well as the Compliance Center work that we've been working on. Most of the stuff that I'll be showing today is available in Exchange and SharePoint 2013. We do have a few new things to announce, and I'll point those out, but most of this is already available. The reason eDiscovery is so important is that it represents a major cost and risk to doing business. Over 90% of U.S. corporations are currently engaged in litigation. And 147 is the average number of active lawsuits for companies that are over $1 billion in size. And the average per case cost is $1 million. Just to go out, find the data, and review and process that information. So I'd assume most of you here, you're involved in your IT administrators. So show of hand, who's administrators? All right. So who here has had their legal team come and talk to them and say, we need to get some data for eDiscovery? Show of hands. All right, quite a few of you. Well, now you can understand why this is so important to them, right? They are obligated and required. Your organization is obligated and required to go out and collect and gather up that information. And when they actually get to court, you have to take all of that data and have attorneys read through all that content to determine what needs to get turned over. And that's where a lot of the cost comes from. So there's a big push to analyze and process that data and reduce it as much as possible up front, early in the process, before you have to pay all of those attorneys to read that content. There's also a big push to make sure your organization is protected, because when one of these legal events occurs, you have an obligation to preserve and keep that content. You can't let any potential evidence get deleted. And you can actually receive a huge sanction or lose a case or get fined millions of dollars if the opposition is able to demonstrate that that content was deleted or you did not do a good job preserving that content. So that's why this is so critical, and I'm glad that you're here learning about this. And that's why we've listened to our customers and built these capabilities into the Office products, Exchange and SharePoint and Link. So what is eDiscovery? What's the process of going out, identifying, collecting, processing, and then producing electronic content so you can turn it over for either a civil litigation, a court case that you're dealing with? But there can be lots of other reasons as well. And that's why this isn't just an e-discovery session, it's also an organizational search session. We hear a lot of feedback from our customers that they have attacks occur, and data ends up getting through into people's mailboxes, and they want to go out and find that content and either delete it or explore and find out where it came from, what happened. There's also internal investigations, or maybe somebody wasn't doing the right things within your organization. And so you want to explore and examine that. At Microsoft, we have a good-sized forensics team that they help and ensure and make sure that our employees are doing the right things. A lot of times it's about proving that the right things happened. And so you're going out and getting the evidence to show, hey, here's exactly the history and here's what happened. So starting at the far end here, we have identify and preserve. And so that's going out and finding who are the people involved, what were the locations where data was at, and then preserving that content. And we've built this in-place approach where you can do in-place hold to have an immutable store where that content is protected within Exchange and SharePoint. Then the second is search and process. So going out, searching across that data, using machine tools to help you find what you're looking for and reduce down that amount of data. Then the third step is legal review, where you're paying people to read through page by page all of that content. Now, we often hear about customers needing to deal with even hundreds of gigabytes of data in a given case. And it typically costs between $10,000 to $40,000 per gigabyte of data in this process. So if you're starting with 100 gigabytes of data and paying $10,000 per gigabyte, that's $1 million, which is a lot of money. If you can reduce that data down by 90%, you're talking about $100,000 versus $1 million. So that's why there's a big push by legal teams to help better protect their organizations and help reduce their legal costs. Then there's the production phase, that final step. And that's when the content is actually converted into a format that can be presented into court. So you start with a very high volume of data, and as you go through these steps, that data is reduced, and your relevance becomes very high. So there's three challenges that we frequently heard from you and our customers as we were out talking to people and learning about this space. One was that preservation step. I need an immutable store where I can protect and keep that data as evidence and make sure that doesn't get changed or deleted. The second step is that search and reduction, where you're able to find what you're looking for, process it, reduce it, get it down to that much smaller set of data so you can help save your organization money. And then three is export. It's just plain difficult to get all that data back out of Exchange, SharePoint. How can I get that data offline into a portable format that I can hand off? So here are the key takeaways from this session. One, we have three main capabilities that help you with this e-discovery process. One is in-place hold, so that's how you can preserve and keep that evidence around. Two is query, so you're able to issue searches and be able to find what you're looking for and reduce that set of data. And three is export. We've made it very easy to download that data and get it out of the system so you can hand it off. And then there's three big advantages with this approach. One is it's in place. As it was talked about in the keynote, built in versus bolt on, right? We've built these capabilities. We're leveraging the search system in the Office products in Exchange, so that you're not having to go and set up a whole bunch of different expensive tools. You're able to just go in and look at the live, real-time data, and that's the second big advantage, is that we've brought the fast search technology, which is the leading enterprise search technology that Microsoft acquired about 6 years ago now. We've integrated that into SharePoint and into Exchange. So the same search index and same search technology that powers OWA searches for your end users also powers e-discovery. And this was a huge leap between what we had for multi-mailbox search in Exchange 2010 versus Exchange 2013, because that's the release where we integrated this new, much more powerful search technology that's more reliable, faster, and it can do a lot more of the capabilities that our customers needed for e-discovery. And then three is more content. So because we're able to take care of that, because we're built into the native store, into Exchange, we're able to analyze and understand that content natively. Right? We can index things such as OneNote files. We can do a better job of indexing and searching calendar items and contacts and messages. We have all of that metadata and context, which a lot of that information you potentially lose when you take it out of the system and put it into another archive. And that's why our in-place strategy and building these compliance capabilities into the products has been so important to us and to you, our customers. Because today, as Kamal talked about in the earlier archiving session, you're often using third-party products or having difficulties dealing with your compliance needs. We've often seen our customers taking out huge amounts of data, creating an entirely duplicate copy just so they can meet their compliance requirements. That adds cost. It adds complexity and risk. It also increases the amount of time you have to wait before you can search and analyze that data. So this greatly simplifies e-discovery. With most of your data all in one place, just being able to work with it on Exchange as well as across the Office products, it makes a much easier process. You just go to one UI, enter in your search queries, and you can start finding content immediately. This also helps save time and money because it's built into the products and reduces risk because you can go and trigger preservation, turn on in-place hold, and have that start protecting content immediately rather than waiting weeks in order to get a copy of all of the data. So let's jump in and see a demo. This is the Exchange Admin Center, and this is our in-place hold and e-discovery section. So I can create a new query here. And I know a few specific mailboxes that I want to search. You can pick distribution lists here as well. But in this case, I know the three people I want to add. Now, with that integration of fast search technology into Exchange, that allowed us to do more sophisticated search operators than we could before. So in this case, I'm using the operator near, which is going to do a proximity search. So what that will do is I've typed in the keyword Northwind near 30 of MarketStar. So what this is doing is it's going to search for any occurrences of the keyword Northwind within 30 keywords of any variations of MarketStar, so marketing, marketer, et cetera. Now, I can also do other things such as put in a date range to look for from to CC, BCC. Also, with this keywords field, there's a whole bunch of different Exchange properties I could enter, and I'll show a little bit about how you can do that later. Once I've defined that search criteria, I can turn on in-place hold. And so that will go to the mailbox and make sure that as the user goes and is creating new stuff, receiving messages, deleting content, just going about their work, behind the scenes, we'll keep all of their content in a special location as it gets deleted out. So one of the big new things between Exchange 2010 and 2013 was that we received feedback from our customers that in Exchange 2010, we had the ability to place the whole mailbox on litigation hold. But that meant that you ended up keeping a whole bunch of data. In a lot of cases, you know some search criteria that could greatly narrow down how much data you'd be dealing with. So with 2013, these keywords that I've entered will now apply to that in-place hold. So rather than keeping all of the data for the whole mailbox, We only have to keep the content that matches those search terms. So I could be holding 5%, 10%, or even less of that content. So that will go off, kick off the search, and it'll give me back an estimate of how much items, how much size is there. It'll go off and set the hold, so it'll start preserving, protecting that content. Now, one of the other things that we can do is actually get keyword statistics information. And one of the things I did in that search query was that I added an OR. And I put in OR wingtip. So that's going to increase the scope of how much content I'm holding. With the keyword statistics that you get, you can actually see the breakdown of how much content would apply to those different ORs, those different sections and phrases in your search terms. So you'll see, here's the query. It's on in place hold. And right now it's in progress. Here's one that I ran a little bit earlier that I'll show. So you can see on this bottom part here, it shows that for Northwind Near 30 Market Star, there's 5 hits. Right? And for just the wingtip keyword, there's 7 hits. So I can use this to help make some decisions about maybe I should go back and change my query because maybe these other keywords are adding a lot of items, or maybe it's returning 0 and I might dig in and understand why. So you'll see this search completed, and I can do that same thing, retrieving keyword statistics here. So early case assessment is a term that's often used in the e-discovery space. Early case assessment is going in, understanding how much content you have so that you can make some decisions about what your case is going to look like. You may look and find important pieces of information, or you may just want to get an idea of the overall cost to pursue a case. So for example, if between those 3 people and the keywords I had entered, if there was 200 gigabytes of data, we might start making some decisions about negotiating with the other side and saying, hey, this is way more data than you're going to want to deal with for this case. So let's make some negotiations about how can we get this to a more granular set, a less amount of data, be more restrictive with our search terms. A lot of times requests will come in, and EJ will probably talk about this more in his session on how Microsoft LCA does it. We'll often receive requests that are very broad, right? I want all documents, I want all communications, I want everything for everybody that worked on Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. Okay, that's like 300 people's mailboxes and all of their content, right? That's just an insane amount of data to have lawyers going through and reading all of that content. So this helps you give you information so you can learn and understand the case to make those decisions. So why is this important on our platform, and why is it an advantage with Exchange? Well, today the process often looks like you go and collect all this data out of Exchange, you put it in some other tool, and it's a month, maybe 2, before you've actually been able to complete that process, put it in another search tool, and can actually start searching on it. Right? This is the feedback that we've gotten from tons of legal teams that I've gone and talked to. It takes them 1 to 2 months in order to actually start getting information about their legal case. Whereas I was able to show you, I created a search in a minute and was able to go and get that information immediately. That's very powerful in that I can go in anytime. And because we're leveraging that in-place search index that's powering the end user searches, you don't need a separate infrastructure, a separate system. You don't need to make a copy. You're able to just go in and search on live, up-to-date data at any time. This helps you get your answers faster, in minutes rather than weeks. Now, I also showed in-place hold. Right, with in-place hold, The content stays in Exchange. And I'll show later doing in-place hold on SharePoint content. And that SharePoint content stays in SharePoint and works the same way. This means that you use less storage space. We don't have to capture a copy of every single item in the mailbox. You can use search queries to reduce down what you're keeping preserved. But also, we only need to keep a copy if someone deletes or modifies that content, which in a lot of cases, a lot of the content in the mailbox isn't getting deleted and changed. And it's location and query-based, right? So I was able to put in those search terms to reduce down the amount of content that I'm keeping on hold. One of the most important points about the way in-place hold works is that there's no impact to your users. They're not going to notice that they're on hold. This can be important for investigative purposes, where there can be cases where you don't want to alert someone that they are being investigated. Or you want to turn on that hold, and you don't want your users to come back and complain to you, like, I can't delete this email message, right? How many support requests would you end up getting, help tickets, if we actually blocked deletion of the content, right? So with in-place hold, users don't even need to know what's going on. The content just gets kept behind the scenes. They go about their lives sending email, deleting email, creating documents in SharePoint, et cetera. So link archiving is also covered, and that was one of the big new things we did in 2013 as well. So it's different from the conversation information that you can get in Outlook. Right? This was new in 2013 that it's a server-side archiving. Right? So when people are sending link instant messages or they're having link meetings, that data gets archived into the Exchange mailbox. So when I just did that search and put those Belinda, Garth, Sarah, when I put them all on hold, their link data will also get kept on hold within their mailbox, right? So that way you can have their instant messaging data. So link archives the content into Exchange, and it includes the instant messaging and meeting content. So if people upload PowerPoint presentations to a link meeting, then that would be covered and indexable as well. So I'll talk briefly about SharePoint in-place hold. The key point for that is that we built in-place hold in SharePoint to work the same as the Exchange model. We saw that that model worked very well. And we cover all sorts of different types of content in SharePoint. And we don't let admins delete the site, right? And we preserve all the versioning history. So it just keeps stuff behind the scenes in a special location that the eDiscovery user can see. But to the regular user that's creating and deleting documents, they never notice it. So this is the Exchange lifecycle, right? Content comes into the mailbox. The user can go and he can delete the item. And then if he's sneaky and maybe doing something he shouldn't be, he knows that he should go to empty the recoverable items folder too, right? And now that stuff's gone. He can't see it in his mailbox at all. But what we do behind the scenes when hold is on is that we actually have all these other folders where stuff still goes. So message comes in, gets moved to deleted items, or messages get purged. They still get kept in these other folders within the mailbox that the user can't see. So the message got purged by the user. We also, you guys probably actually know about this, most people don't, but you can actually edit content as well. We ensure that that gets captured as too. And then what happens is we have this discovery hold folder where stuff ends up getting kept, right? And hold basically trumps everything, right? Like, you may still want your deletion policies to run cleaning up content from the user's mailbox, but if there's a hold on place, until that last hold gets removed, the content is going to get kept within that folder. But if there's query-based holds in place, right, if content doesn't match all of the queries that have it on hold, that content will get deleted out. So you don't have to keep filling up the mailbox. So here's a slide showing some of the types of things that you can do with the search capability. So these are things that you could type into that keywords field I showed earlier. So you could do things such as quotes in order to get an exact phrase, right? That would search for executive briefing. Those two words need to be right next to each other. You can do ands, right? So here I've got an example where I've got a word in quotes, and it would have to find with summary also in the article. You can do properties. So if you type in a property with colon and then the property you're looking for, so you could do things such as file name as an example here. We have a whole list of different Exchange search properties available on TechNet. And you can do that near operator, which is something that we see advanced eDiscovery users do quite frequently. So these are some different ways that you can help scope down and find what you're looking for. So we also showed the search capability. So I was able to go in, pick some mailboxes, select mailboxes, and put in keywords, right? Put in different search properties to scope down the content that I was looking for. All right, so the search is real time. You don't have to wait for indexing. As content is coming in to the Exchange mailbox, as content is getting created, there's a little bit of delay, but it's pretty quick that that stuff gets indexed. And then we give you rich capabilities in order to reduce down the data, right? So the proximity search, the query syntax. And we also give you capabilities to help you make decisions. So I showed the keyword query statistics breakdown, as well as the overall estimate statistics. And then we also have a preview. So let's see that. So here's the query that I've actually, you guys want to go off the script and see something new? Yeah? Okay. We're going off script here, so if anything goes wrong, don't blame me. So this is some new stuff that we've been working on. This is very fresh. I'm going to create a new query. Notice I'm in Firefox, so I'm showing off our cross-compatibility here. Well, what's this down here? It's actually public folders. Come on, you guys can applaud for that. This is one of the new things where this is hot off the presses. I barely got my developer to turn it on for me on Friday. But we actually have the ability to go in and select public folders. So I've created this public folder, public files. And we can do the same stuff. I can apply filter criteria. Those public folders are indexed by the same search capabilities that the mailboxes are. So I can do all the same types of things. And so this will actually go out, run a search on that public folder, get me back the items and size. We're still working on finishing the rest of the stuff, so being able to do other capabilities, such as being able to export that data out. But I can at least get the estimate and show that we've got search working on public folders. Yes, so this is, right now we're just working on this in Office 365, right? And we're still finalizing the details of that and then what the plan is for delivering that on premises, right? So. All of the other capabilities that I've shown so far, they're already on Exchange 2013. So I can also go in and preview the search results as well. So I'll show that real quickly here. So this opens an OWA read-only view so I can see what those messages look like. So I can determine whether my search query criteria is accurate, whether I'm finding the kind of stuff that I'm looking for, that I'm expecting to see, right? So I can preview the content. Now you'll notice there's no reply buttons, right? I can't forward this content. It's just a read-only view so I can get an idea of what my search query is doing. We also show per mailbox statistics. So you'll see we break down Sarah, Garth, and Katie's mailboxes so you can get an idea. Okay, is one of these people, are they contributing a lot? Is this kind of where a lot of the data is coming from, et cetera? I can also do that for the public folder search as well. So you guys are the first people outside of a couple people on the team. We actually haven't even demoed this to the engineering team yet, so this is pretty awesome. All right, so here I'm viewing a post in that public folder. So that was preview. This stuff's all great, but wait, there's more. You guys are supposed to like cheer or something. All right. I haven't demoed it yet, so come on. All right. So we also have export. So it's fantastic if you can hold this stuff and put in the search terms, right? Be able to find what you're looking for. But you could do most of that with Exchange 2010. You didn't have the same level of query capabilities. You couldn't do query-based in-place hold. You couldn't search on the public folders. But you could do those basic searches and put the entire mailbox on hold. The problem was, how do you actually get that data out of Exchange, right? And especially in the cloud, like that was a real challenge of, if I had that data in Office 365, how do I actually, because I don't have access to all the same level of capabilities there. So with export, right, I can easily download content from Exchange from that search I just did, right, into an offline format. And so we'll download that data as PSTs. And you can do duplication. You can include items that we had trouble indexing, right, so that you could go and do additional processing on that data just in case they might be relevant to your search terms but wouldn't match because they weren't fully indexed. Right, and you can take it offline. So you have it in a portable format that you can hand off. So here's the search that I ran earlier. And you'll notice copy search results is what you could do with Exchange 2010. That allows you to take your search and copy those results to a discovery mailbox. Now, we've got this export to a PST file option. This launches a client-side tool where I can pick where I want these files downloaded to. I can enable deduplication, which that will reduce the data typically by about 50%. So that helps you have less data that you have to sift through. It'll look at the items across people's mailboxes, and then when the same items in two people's mailbox, you just get one copy of it. You can also include the unsearchable items as well. And so there may be items such as an attachment that was a zip file. A password protected zip file that we weren't able to index. Or a encrypted email message that we don't understand the encryption on it, right? We report all of those as items that we either had trouble fully or partially indexing, and then we'll include that as a separate PST so that has all that data and information there. You could go and do additional processing. So this is going to download all of those files straight to my local machine, and now I have an offline portable format where I can hand it off. So how about that? This makes it a lot easier in order to do these functionalities. During the keynote, they talked about enabling the compliance officer and providing great experiences where you could hand off some of these tasks, right? So that you don't, as an IT admin, you don't need to be in the business of every time legal needs to get some data out that they have to file a support ticket and you have to go get it with them and try and figure out exactly what they need to do. We've been working to design our experiences so that they're self-service. You can grant those people the right permissions. They can go in, run the searches, manage the holds themselves, and then export this data out. So we've made it very easy in order to go and do these things. As you'll see, I can open this export out. Here are the three mailboxes for the users. And we also have a log of the information of what we downloaded. So this makes it a lot easier for someone who's not an expert in PowerShell to be able to go in and take care of these tasks. And that's what we've done at Microsoft. Our legal team is able to go in and use these experiences in order to run their searches and get the data out. And they're not experts in PowerShell. Now, they do have some technology background, but they're not going in and writing PowerShell scripts. Question up here.
Sorry, so you mentioned there's a log that that records this. Is that held on the server? And does this obviously create an audit trail of who accessed the data and who downloaded it so that there's a record of this data being extracted?
Yes, great question. So the question was about, is there an audit trail of what searches and exports are being done and who did it and when? Because as you can imagine, if I'm on the legal team and I've got access to go search Steve Ballmer or Satya Nadella, right, like our CEOs, I could go in and search their mailboxes and export the data out. You need to make sure that you've got control and tracking on that. And so the answer is yes, that we do have audit logs and audit trail that tracks the kind of things that are going on. How long is that log held for? I believe it's 90 days in Exchange, right? And I'm going to show some of the SharePoint capabilities that we have later. And that SharePoint allows you to search Exchange and SharePoint. And those logs are held indefinitely, I believe.
Defaults to a month.
It defaults to a month. OK. Question here in the middle. Great question. So the question was, with deduplication, how does that output, right? And so I didn't select deduplication. You'll have one PST. Recently, we've done work to split the PSTs up at a certain file size, I think at 10 gigabytes. And that's a change that will be coming in the near future. Question here. The question was, do we export a manifest XML file that has the original metadata? And from Exchange, in this one, we don't. In the SharePoint export, we do have an EDRM XML manifest file that has metadata. One more question, yeah. Will the PST export, yeah, so the PST export, will it work in other browsers? I did this from Google Chrome. You can do it from Firefox as well. You do need to install, it uses Click Once technology, which is a Microsoft technology, and there's an add-in for both Chrome and Firefox that you need to install for that. All right, another question. Yeah, so the question was, some organizations have a requirement where they need to keep all the email for a long period of time, right? And if you don't have hold on, right, users could have deleted any of that email. In that case, you would use hold as a broad organizational policy, either for certain people or turn it on for everybody, where you would say, we have the time-based hold capability, and you could say, you could set up a policy for your org and say everybody is on in-place hold for a 7-year period of time. So that means everything would be kept until 7 years past the receive date. So that's one way that you would do that. Yes? Yes, you would have to worry about mailbox size. But if you've got that organizational requirement, you're going to have to worry about that size in other places as well. If you attended the archiving discovery devices auditing session earlier today, right, one of the things we talked about was our commitment to increasing mailbox size and actually unlimited mailbox sizes. So that is a problem that we're aware of and working on. And that's why, you know, in the past couple of years, we've been increasing the mailbox size quite a bit too. So you do have some other options as well, right? Like you could use the query-based hold to help scope stuff down too, right? Maybe you only need to keep certain types of items, but that's going to vary by organization. So question all the way in the back. Yes. Yeah, so the question was, if you select all mailboxes for the search criteria, you cannot turn on in-place hold. And that's true, and that's how it still is today. It's something we'd love to change. I don't have any announcements there yet, but we've definitely heard the customer pain and feedback there. Okay. All right, so we've gone and shown the Exchange experience, how I can deal with email, and we've announced the new public folders feature. You guys can keep that secret if you want, but you can also put it on Twitter if you want to. That's okay. You can say you heard it from Quentin first. What about all the other data in your organization? Right? You may have SharePoint, file shares. You may be in hybrid. Right, and what does that mean? So that's what this diagram shows here. We do have a solution for that. On the left side, you'll see that with Exchange, that's kind of your on-premises situation, right? And if you're hybrid, you can use your Exchange on-premises to search your mailboxes that are in Exchange Online. If you have data that gets gathered up from users' desktops or devices, right, and that's gathered up, you can take those PSTs and you can ingest them into Exchange. And those files, you can load them either into SharePoint or into file shares. And we've created what we call the SharePoint eDiscovery Center, which is a SharePoint site collection that you can use to manage eDiscovery across file shares, SharePoint, and Exchange. And I'll show what that looks like in just a minute. Now, if you're entirely in the cloud, that's the diagram on the far right. Right? So you can take that local data, you can ingest those PSTs into Exchange Online, and that file data you can ingest into SharePoint Online. Now, one of the key things you'll see here is that what if we're hybrid all these other directions, right? Like you could have SharePoint Online hybrid as well, right? SharePoint Online hybrid isn't supported. So it's just searching from Exchange on-premises to Exchange Online. So let's see what the SharePoint side looks like. You guys want to go off script again and see something else? Was it really bad last time? Sure. You guys are pretty half-hearted about seeing new stuff. Okay. All right, we'll do it anyways, even though you guys really don't seem to want to, but okay. So this is the Compliance Center. You might have seen this briefly a little bit before. This is also something that we're working on right now. One of the developers who's working, actually a couple of the developers who are working on it are here. Please be nice to them. You know, it's their first time at a conference. You don't want them to go back with any, you know, bad experiences. But I'm sure it'll be wonderful. They'll be telling our team how great it was to come to the Exchange conference because you guys are so awesome, right? Yeah. You guys are. Okay. So this is the e-discovery section of the Compliance Center. And these are e-discovery cases that I've created in SharePoint. All right, so let's keep our fingers crossed on this one. So you may be familiar with the sensitive data classifications that we have for data loss prevention in exchange. Now, we've got this powerful search system, and we would like to do that to help our customers with some of the challenges they've had around sensitive data. Right? So you probably can't see it, but here I've put in some search properties. Classification type is credit card number, or classification type is US Social Security number. And I did a search, and so these are documents that have either credit card numbers in them or Social Security numbers. Come on, that's pretty cool, guys. So right now, this is SharePoint only. I think we have an awesome potential here to do some great things. Who here has had challenges where they've been asked maybe, or they've needed to go search in Exchange to try and find content that had sensitive information like a credit card number or something like that? A few people. Who here sees the potential that they might want to do policies based on things like that, such as put this stuff on hold or delete it immediately because it's very sensitive, or set up a policy to delete this stuff over time? Who here wants? Okay, lots of you. Fabulous. So those are things that I, you know, dream about all night. What awesome new things can I do for all of you? We're definitely doing some work here. And so I would be able to take this data and I could do an export. Now, okay, question over here. That's a great question. So let's actually go see that. So the question was, could we search Exchange? Could we look at Exchange attachments? And the answer to that, actually, I don't know if I have attachments here. Let's give it a try, though. All right, I think this one worked the best. All right, so here we've got a couple of mailboxes. So, nothing there. Okay, I'll try on this other one. All right, so from the eDiscovery Center, we are able to search across Exchange and SharePoint. You can see that I can do the same things here pretty much that I can do over in Exchange. I can put in a search query. I can put in a start date, end date. You'll see I've got a whole bunch of hits. So here's Garth's mailbox. Here's Katie's mailbox. So these are the same mailboxes that I was searching before. Now, right now, I don't have in any search criteria, but I can actually see the items here. And this does index the attachments, right? I can open up and preview from SharePoint. All right, well, we're running into some issues for some reason, but we do index the attachments. You're able to search across those. I could even filter down just the content that has documents. I'm not sure if I have any of that data in this set. But this gives you one place. Let's do that. This gives you one place where you can do a search and put content on hold, export out. So none of those items have documents. But the answer is yes, that we can search attachments. So let's go and take a look at how we manage holds from SharePoint. So we break it into two phases. One are the eDiscovery sets. And so you'll see I've got a couple of different people selected here. And it's doing that same search. So this is all powered by the same stuff that we have in Exchange. It's just another UI where it allows you to search both SharePoint and Exchange. So you see, by putting in those keywords, that greatly reduces the amount of content that I have. I can do all the same types of search syntax here. So I could do that near operator, I can do wildcards, and I can turn on in-place hold. So I've already actually got it on here. I can preview the results. So this will go out and turn on hold on those Exchange mailboxes. It'll also turn on hold on those SharePoint sites, which works in the same way as Exchange does. So question over here. Yeah. So the question was, on the roadmap, do we have any plans for being able to tag search results? Because you might want to put interesting metadata on there or make sure that you can come back to it and find it again. No, we don't have any plans there just yet. It is something that we definitely hear from our customers quite a bit. We want to really nail out the search capabilities first, so being able to add support for public folders and really make sure that you can search on all the stuff you need to search first. That I can actually show you. And you actually saw it a little bit earlier, but you probably didn't notice. That is actually why we're building the Compliance Center. And in this e-discovery section here, so the question was, where can I get an aggregated view of all these cases that you're showing in SharePoint? And the answer to that is yes, that's actually right here in the Compliance Center. So this is a brand new thing that we're working on right now. So I can actually see these are three cases that I have in SharePoint. I can create new ones from here, so it gives me one place where I can track and manage them rather than having to know SharePoint and go figure out all the details there and where to go to and navigate to specific cases. So question over here. Yeah, the question was, is there a limit on like how many mailboxes I can deal with from the eDiscovery Center? The answer to that is yes. We have added a couple of changes. One thing I just showed that is new that we're working on is that I can search all SharePoint sites in one query, whereas today with the release of the 2013 products, you have to pick specific SharePoint sites and specific mailboxes. We also have added the ability to search all mailboxes, but that will still be limited to the 5,000 limit. Now, we do know that searching only 5,000 mailboxes is a pain point for customers as well. So that's something that we are definitely taking a look at and listening to our customers on. So, yes, question here. Yes. So the question was, are these cases just specific to me, or can I share those, collaborate, and work on them with other people? And the answer to that is, it's one list, right? So if there's three people on my legal team, and they all come in here, they'll see that same list of cases, although you can permission the cases. So the cases are open by default, but someone can go in and say, for this case, I'm the only one who should have access to it. In that case, it would only show up to that user in this list, and they'd have to grant access for other people to be able to work on it. But it is designed around multiple people collaborating together and working on these. Okay. So we showed doing a preview from SharePoint. We showed the search. We showed doing the hold. One of the other things I want to show is that we do the same type of export, so from Exchange, and then we can also export the SharePoint results out as well. And so that makes it very easy for someone to come and say, okay, I've got my query all defined, here's the set of data I want. All I have to do is hit this export button, although I'm gonna scope this down a little bit. So you'll see right now I've got like 170 items. And by putting in a few keywords, okay, bam, now I'm at 7. So I've been able to reduce that quite a bit, although that might have been too restrictive. Let's just do Northwind. Now, there's one of the other things I didn't show was that we've got some refinements. So I could say, I only want email from Exchange, and I only want documents and Excel files from SharePoint, right? So that's helping me scope down the amount of data that I'm dealing with. Then once I'm done, I can just hit export. I get the same options, remove duplicates, include items that are encrypted or have an unrecognized format, hit OK. And so this is going to go and kick off that export so I can download all that data. So SharePoint data, of course we can't, there's no PST for that. But what we do is we download all the documents as native files. The web pages, the blogs, the social feeds, we download those either, if they're a list, we get it as a CSV. So it has the metadata for all the items in the list. For the web pages, we get those as an MHT file, which is an archived web page. So it has all of the context, all of the script, all of the images, all embedded. So it's all the data is in an offline format. So you could take that and you can load it into another tool. All right, and so that'll kick off the export, making it very easy for me to get all of this data. All right, so someone noted, they saw my slides, which are posted on Yammer. So I encourage you guys to download those slides. I'm not a lawyer, so I didn't copyright them or anything. You guys are welcome to take those slides, use them in other presentations, teach other people about this. You can even, I don't know if you guys saw in the keynote, they had the video about the IT guy. He's got like his to-do list, and one of the things on there was go teach his legal team how to go and use this stuff. So you guys are welcome to take those slides, go teach your legal team how to do some of this stuff and show them these capabilities. I can tell you, probably once or twice a week, I'm on a phone call talking to a customer who they're looking at, okay, we're gonna upgrade to Exchange 2013, and then you know the legal team kind of gets in there, right? And says, oh, we gotta approve the deal and make sure like the right stuff is happening that'll meet our needs. And the IT guy's like, well, I don't know about this e-discovery stuff, right? Well, now you guys know a lot more about it. But I love getting on those phone calls because the legal team comes on and they're like, oh, you guys don't have anything. And then I show them this stuff, they're blown away, right? They're like, wow, I can search this stuff in place. It's just built in, right? I can go and do this. It solves a huge pain point for a lot of our customers where your legal team may be spending weeks and tons of time trying to get access to this data and deal with it. Now we've made it so much easier for them to go and be able to run searches and export it, right? So this is an architectural diagram. You know, I just had to put like something that looks cool in here, right? But this basically shows all of the work that we've done between the different servers to get stuff to connect together. But the interesting point is you don't really have to worry about this too much because really we've solved most of it. In Office 365, we take care of it. On premises, it's really not that many setup steps that need to get done in order to connect SharePoint and Exchange together. But for your information, you're welcome to dive in and check this out on the slides. I do have one other thing that I wanted to show, which we've already been going through and showing the Compliance Center a bit. So we showed this cases list and how you can go off to the eDiscovery Center site here, and this gives you one place where you can see your cases from. Now, one of the other new things we've been working on is hold. And you may have already seen where we've been one of the big things we've been working on is we've got this set of compliance capabilities in SharePoint. We've got this set of compliance capabilities in Exchange. Exchange is probably up here, so you guys are awesome. We want to get SharePoint up to that level, but there's also a lot of additional awesome things that we want to do in Exchange as well. So how do we make that a simple and easy experience, and how do we bring some of these awesome ideas we have in Exchange to other workloads? One of those things was time-based hold, so the ability to go in and say, you know, I want to keep all of my email for 1 year, right, after it was received. And so what we did was we brought that same capability to SharePoint recently. And so this is our new unified hold, where I can enter in keywords, so I can do a lot of the same things that I was able to do in the Exchange Admin Center, where I could put in search terms, I could put in a date range. I can pick mailboxes and sites here. So I can pick a few people from here. I can also pick SharePoint sites. And so this will call out to Exchange and validate that they're mailboxes and that they're SharePoint sites. All right, there we go. Question right here. Great question. So the question was, are we going to add public folders to that? And the answer is yes. I don't have a timeline on when just yet, but we're working on it. So this allows me to either do the indefinite hold, or I could say, I want to hold this stuff for 3 years, or I want to do a custom, you know, 180 days, right? So this will go out and then apply these same policies on Exchange and SharePoint. Now, this is not a ton of awesome new stuff above what we already have, because we do have the SharePoint eDiscovery Center, but this allows you to do that time-based hold, which you can't do from the eDiscovery Center today. But the important thing is that this is on a new unified platform in one place, and it's going to allow us to deliver additional capabilities in these same ways in the future and really bring together our compliance vision, where we can do compliance scenarios really across Office and just make it a lot easier to manage and go to your one-stop shop where you can manage compliance. And that's what's really powerful about this. So I can go ahead and hit next, and then it just gives me a summary of what exactly is going to happen. All right, so that was the Compliance Center in place hold. We spent a lot of time demoing and showing different things. Does any questions all the way in the back?
Can you show an example of the auditing log?
What?
Auditing, you know, like you did all these queries.
Ah, show an example of auditing.
Yeah, I just want to see the activities. All the searches got recorded.
Yeah. So the question was, can we see some information about the auditing capabilities? Yeah, we can do that. You can actually see my export is still running here. So that's great. We'll switch over to, let's show the Exchange side first. I can actually go to the auditing section, and you'll see there's a few different options here. I can do a per mailbox litigation hold report. Right. So this would show me what mailboxes have been put on hold. I can do an in-place e-discovery and hold report. And I'm not sure if I have it set up in SharePoint, but let's take a look. In SharePoint, it's a little harder to find, and that's one of the big reasons between the Compliance Center. The Compliance Center really brings our auditing capabilities onto one place, whereas in SharePoint, you have to go to all these different individual places to find it. So here in this is my eDiscovery Center site collection. There's a place to configure auditing. So you would go in and you would turn auditing on for that site collection. And then there's all these different reports here. So one thing you could do is you could run a custom report. pick the location you want it to go to. You can put in a date range, you could put in people. And so searching site content is one of the key ones. So I've checked that option here. So that will give me a list of all the searches that have been run. Editing items, that would give me a list of any time a search query was changed, as well as any time an export was done as well. So that's still loading up there. There we go. All right, so you can see I've actually been pretty busy in the eDiscovery Center, but I can actually go in and, you know, we've got all this detail here. You can see here's like the different search queries that I've been doing. And then on the Exchange side, we can, of course, here's different reports that I've run too. All right, question over here.
Is there a way to automate these reports to generate it
and So the question is automatically generating the reports? And sending it as an email. No, there's not a great way to do that today, unfortunately. I don't know about on PowerShell. Do you know, Sarah, if you could generate an audit report? Yeah. You could write a script that runs the report once in a while, but there's not a good in-the-box way to do it. So another question all the way in the back.
What about, and maybe you mentioned this, but I came late. So what about link instant messages? Are they part of the eDiscovery?
Do you want to use the microphone so I could hear a bit better?
So what about the link instant messages? Are those searchable by eDiscovery?
Yeah, so the question was, are link instant messages searchable by eDiscovery? And the answer is yes. That when you have the mailbox on hold, link instant messages will get stored in the mailbox. And when you run a search, you can actually filter on link items if you want to. Okay. I mean, you can preview them and you can export them.
What about instant messages sent via mobile devices? Link IMs using the Android or the iPhone.
Oh, so IMs. Instant messages. The link app on it on phones.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are covered as well. Question over here.
What format do
the link instant messages? They're stored in the PST. I don't know more details than that on what it looks like when you get it out of the PST. Question over here.
The
question was, any plans to integrate groups and handling searches for OneDrive? So OneDrive is supported today. You can add OneDrive sites, just get treated as a SharePoint site. They're indexed, they're searchable, you can export them. The one challenge is if you're in Office 365, you need to set permissions per site collection, which, you know, that's a SharePoint concept, but basically each OneDrive user has a separate site collection. And so that's a big pain point that we're looking at addressing. So let me cover a few key takeaways, and then we'll have time for more questions. So one, the capabilities. So today you saw in-place hold, which allows you to preserve that content, keep it, the Exchange content in Exchange, the SharePoint content in SharePoint. Users can go about doing their work, but you can protect your organization and get that data when you need it. Second big capability are search queries, right? So we've greatly improved the search in Exchange and SharePoint, and we were able to leverage those in-place indexes for eDiscovery. So we're able to search on live, up-to-date, real data with great query syntax, awesome capabilities for being able to reduce and hone down your search. The third big capability, export. So we've made it much easier to download and get the data out, whether you're in Office 365 or on premises. And then our three big advantages. Our in-place approach, built in, not bolt on, right? So they're just built in to the features. They're easy to get started with and using. Two, real time, The data is always up to date. And three, it's that built in. So we've simplified e-discovery. That helps you save time and money and helps you reduce your risk. Now make sure that you guys fill out the evaluations. Make sure you put the highest number on there. I think that's the best, right? And like, I encourage comments too. I go through and I read all the comments, so if you guys have any feedback about what you'd like to see or how the session could have been better, or you can say Quentin's really awesome, that's okay too, I won't complain. Then I really appreciate it, and I do read those, and we take that back to our team. So any other questions that I can help with? And we've got about 5 more minutes we can spend answering questions. So in the middle here first. That's a great question. So when will the Compliance Center be available? I don't think we have a date just yet, but we're expecting it in the near future. It's not years off. I don't have a more firm answer than that right now, though. Question up here. It's searching all the SharePoint content. There's a couple of caveats, such as you can have external content like data from SAP. We don't cover that, but documents, web pages, social news feeds, we cover all of it. So the question is, when you export SharePoint items, what do they come out as? So the documents will just be in their native format as a Word document, Excel. The web pages will be as MHTs, archived web pages, and then the lists and social newsfeed data will be as CSVs. So it's a list, and each column is one of the properties from the list. Question up here in the front. Yeah. So the question is about the rolling window of retention and like what's the limit on that, right? So, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you would use the time-based hold. You could use that the new hold UI that I showed to do that. You are limited to 5,000 mailboxes. Was that? Yeah, per hold. So you could, you know, you can create 20 holds if you need to. Yes, you do. Yeah, and we've definitely heard that pain point, right? Like there's some organizations you want to hold the whole organization, or you want to hold like a dynamic group, a changing group. To override the limit? No, there's no ability. Can a user override the hold? So the question was, can a user like change the time period of the hold, I guess? Yeah. So the way you would do a hold if you wanted to do stuff longer is you do have to configure that as an administrator. Right, you would say, okay, this, like you can have multiple holds on a mailbox, right? And the one that's the longest will win. And so if someone goes on indefinite hold, until that indefinite hold gets released, it'll all get. So you could say, everybody, we've got a 5-year, but we'll put a 7-year on this specific group of people. That's something that you can do. The user can't change it. A person's retention policy, are you talking about like if they say, okay, this item, delete it after 1 year? Or?
I might be on legal hold for 5 years.
Yeah.
But I can set a policy on my own mailbox that says longer than
it's. Okay, so someone could say, like, keep this item, right? That's not going to impact hold. That just means it's going to stay in their mailbox. That is something that people can do, yeah. All right, question up here. It varies. In-place hold is the main one that requires that they be on an enterprise license. Yeah. You can still do searches without the enterprise license, but.